Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of Luke. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and when he went into the Pharisee's house, he reclined to dine. And a woman in the city who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair, kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," he replied, "speak." A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. "Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" But he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Jenny, and thank you to our kids' choir. How fantastic. That song was a sermon in itself, I think. Friends, the good news this week is simple and demanding. Great love of God and neighbor belongs together. There is no loving God without loving neighbor. There is no deep devotion that does not move our feet, our wallets, our daily acts, and our imaginations toward the well-being of others, especially those who are most at risk. As we heard, Jesus is at dinner in the home of a respected religious leader, Simon. The table is set, the guest list is curated, the conversation is probably polite. It's a hot one out there today. Perhaps even theological. The host would, of course, know the tradition of welcoming guests. But when Jesus arrives, he offers no real warmth. No water for feet, no oil, no kiss of welcome. It is hospitality in name only. Then comes the interruption. A woman from the city enters, a woman everyone knows has a story that they'd rather not talk about. She brings her tears and a jar of costly perfume. She kneels then at Jesus' feet and weeps on them. She wipes her feet with his feet with her hair and pours out the perfume. Her actions are shocking and intimate and vulnerable. Simon the host sees scandal. Jesus sees great love. And the good news is that Jesus calls that love. The love of a judged and excluded woman, the model of what it looks like to love God with your whole heart and to love your neighbor in concrete, embodied ways. "Do you see this woman?" Jesus asks. Not, Do you see her category, her reputation, her past? But do you see her? That is the question of love of neighbor. The theme for this week is not just love in the abstract, it is great love of God and neighbor. Great love is love that truly sees the other as beloved of God. Great love notices who has been ignored. It feels the weight of another's pain. It responds in costly, concrete ways. The woman sees Jesus' tired, dusty feet and offers tenderness and care. She gives the most precious thing that she has and refuses to let shame or social boundaries keep her from loving. Her love of God is not just a feeling in her heart. It is a basin. It is a towel of hair and an open jar of perfume. Jesus then tells a story about debts and forgiveness to help Simon understand. But then he does something more important. He says, in effect, this is what great love looks like. This is what it means to love God. This is what real hospitality, real neighbor love is. The good news is that God receives and honors this kind of love even when others dismiss it. The good news is that those we write off are often the ones who show us the heart of God. Today, that same question, do you see her, now stretches out to the wider world, to the country of Iran. Since yesterday, coordinated attacks by the United States and Israel have struck many locations across the country, and the supreme leader himself was killed, a man whose regime inflicted immense suffering on his own people, and whose death many will see as a necessary price for change. But that is not the whole story. Those same strikes also hit places like a girls' elementary school in Minab and another school outside Tehran. Children who should have been practicing their letters and multiplication tables were innocent victims, along with countless other civilians across the nation. In turn, we are told by the powers that be that this is tragic but necessary, collateral damage, that the only way to bring regime change, the only way to secure peace, is through this kind of attack. Friends, as United Methodists, our social principles remind us that the church deplores war and all forms of violent conflict and urges the peaceful settlement of all disputes. Our bishop, Lynette Plambeck, put it this way: as Christ's followers, we reject war as an instrument of foreign policy and insist that every peaceful and diplomatic means be exhausted before armed conflict begins. If the good news is great love of God and neighbor, then we cannot accept without question any story that treats children, families, and whole communities as expendable. Those children did not choose their government. They did not sign military orders. They are our neighbors. They are God's children. They are, in the language of Matthew 25, the least of these. My sister-in-law, Roya, and her family are from Iran. They are Iranian refugees. And Yesterday, Roya shared the writings of a young Iranian woman who put it this way. We wanted a better life for everyone without exception. Perhaps it was idealistic, but our ideal was life, not ruin. If our voices are cut off, know that until the very end, we stood on the side of life. We stood on the side of life. If loving God and loving neighbor are inseparable, then we must say clearly, targeting or tolerating the deaths of children and other innocents is not the only way. Anything truly holy or lasting can change. That is not great love of neighbor, and therefore it is not the love of God. Jesus' words in Matthew 25 make this crystal clear. When we care for the hungry, welcome the stranger, visit the prisoner, we are caring for Christ himself. And the flip side of this is also true. When we treat some lives as expendable, we are denying the presence of Christ in them. Here in Minnesota, we continue to live in a different but similar kind of contrast. We see the federal administration withholding support from the least, cutting food assistance, healthcare, and basic safety nets under the banner of fraud, even as corruption at the highest levels of government runs rampant. We've seen the horrendous treatment of our immigrant and refugee neighbors at the hands of ICE and a complete disregard for civil rights. As in the administration's unconstitutional war on Iran, we see the same deep disregard for human life here. Treating people as expendable, problems to be managed, or bodies to be sacrificed for power and security, rather than as neighbors to be loved. But at the street level, we see great love. Ordinary neighbors, people whose own budgets are tight, people like all of you, bringing groceries, offering rides to medical and legal appointments, contributing to rental assistance, showing up at marches as legal observers. This is what it looks like when love of God and love of neighbor become one. You can almost imagine Jesus saying of these hidden acts in Minnesota what he says of the woman. Do you see what she has done for me? Hamlin Church has long sought to embody this good news in the many ways that we care for and serve our neighbors. For us, these are not extras to our spiritual lives. They are our love of God made visible. When we feed a hungry neighbor, show hospitality to a newcomer, or stand between a vulnerable person and harm, we are anointing the feet of Christ in our own time and place. It must be said, the woman brings her past, her tears, her perfume. We too bring our own burdens into this moment. We carry our worries for the world. Grief and outrage at the death of children and innocents in Iran and in so many places of conflict. Worry for immigrants and vulnerable neighbors. Weariness at being told that violence and scarcity are simply how the world works. But we also carry our own personal pain. The ache of relationships that are strained or broken. The quiet fear about our own health or the health of a loved one. Loneliness, depression, anxiety that we work hard to hide. guilt or regret over things we wish we had done differently. Jesus, though, Jesus does not ask us to wait until we have our acts together and then come to him. Jesus does not expect perfection or that we know what we're doing at all times. Like the woman, we are invited to bring what we carry and pour it out in love. For some of us, that will be prayer that names both our personal pain and the pain of the world before God. For some, it may be honest conversations in this community where we let ourselves be seen and supported. For some, it may be advocacy and public witness that rises not from abstract ideals, but from hearts that know what it is to suffer. For some, it may be concrete acts of care, money, time, listening, hospitality, that put flesh on our love of God and neighbor. Great love isn't always dramatic. Often it looks like showing up with our real imperfect selves, trusting that God can take what we carry, our tears and our courage, and turn it into healing for others and for us. At the end of the meal, Jesus says to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." That peace is not passivity, submission, or resignation to the powers of the world. It is the fierce, steady peace of someone who knows that she is loved by God and therefore is free to love others without fear. This is our sending too. The good news is this: great love of God and neighbor is the way God is saving and remaking the world. And we are called to let our lives become that love and that peace, so it may bring peace for all God's people. Thanks be to God. Amen.